I'm Brandi Cruz. Today on a special episode of Undivided, we're diving into all six Let's Go Washington initiatives. What are they? What would they do? And what is the path forward from here? Today's episode is brought to you by EastsideWeightLossClinic.com. Do what I did and what so many other Undivided viewers have done. Schedule a free 15-minute consultation with Dr. Ryan Coogan and his team at EastsideWeightLossClinic.com. I'm down 37 pounds and I'm not going back. Hello and welcome to Undivided. I'm Brandi Cruz. Thank you for being here. Thank you for your commitment to giving common sense a comeback, the final of our four shortened episodes to get you ready for the 2024 legislative session. A key issue this session is going to be, for lawmakers, what to do with now six common sense initiatives to the legislature. That's right, today, the sixth and final initiative to be turned in is going to be turned in with more than 400,000 signatures, an initiative to make the state's long-term care tax optional. It is Initiative 2124. For some reason, in November, in early December, this initiative seemed to be lagging behind a little bit in signatures, but as the deadline to turn it in loomed, it does appear that they're going to have enough signatures for this thing to be signed, sealed, certified, and heading over to lawmakers. So like the other five, this is an initiative to the legislature. So what's the difference? You can do an initiative to the people or you can do an initiative to the legislature. Well, the difference kind of seems obvious. So initiative to the people goes to the people. You vote on it up or down. With the legislature, there are some advantages to doing it this way. You get a little more time to collect signatures, which doesn't hurt, right? But also you give the legislature a chance to just do the right thing and to say, hey, this is what people seem to want or not want, and let's just adopt it. And then save everybody the time and energy of having to vote on it. But if the initiative to the legislature, if they decide not to do anything with it, not to adopt it, maybe just ignore it, then you get kind of a second bite at the apple, so to speak. And so legislature ignores it, goes to the people of Washington State, which I think will happen with the majority of these. So what I wanted to spend time today talking about is the six initiatives, revisiting them, what they would do, but also which ones might be adopted by the legislature and which ones will likely go to voters. So let's go in the order that they were turned in. So Initiative 2117 was turned in on November 21st. And again, it had, you know, way beyond the number of signatures that it would need to qualify to go to the legislature. And it would prohibit state agencies from imposing any kind of carbon tax credit trading. And they're referring to the cap and trade program that's part of the Climate Commitment Act that has resulted in what I consider to be a carbon tax. So after this first initiative was turned in, we had Brian Haywood on the show of Let's Go Washington, who's running all these initiatives, spending a lot of his own money to do it. And he talked a little bit about what his motivation was. Why do you do this to yourself?
That's a question I ask myself every morning.
Why do you do this to your pocketbook?
Because if someone doesn't go and fight, everybody's pocketbook is going to get hit. And I've moved here from California because all this garbage was going on. And there was nothing. It got to a point in California where there was no way to push back. It just was too far gone. And I moved here and it was so beautiful in Washington. Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness, right? It's just such a great place to live. And then it started happening. And so I want to move again, right? I want to stay here and I don't want to change the state. I just want to bring it back to where it was. Like, just fix the stupid stuff that's been happening.
So fast forward just a few days, and I think that the way Let's Go Washington did this was pretty ingenious, which is, you know, they were out collecting signatures for all six of these things at the same event. And so common sense dictates that all of them were going to have around the same number of signatures, but they spaced out turning them in to kind of keep the momentum going in the news cycle, which I thought was really genius. So after they turned in the Stop the Hidden Gas Tax initiative, they then turned around, they turned in Initiative 2081, which improves parental notification around what's happening with your kids in public school, are they given medication, etc. And we know that parental rights has been a huge issue in Washington State, and this one had perhaps more signatures, I think, than any of the others. You know, we were coming off the heels over the summer of anger around Senate Bill 5599, which lets kids run away to a shelter to seek protected health care, and then they're hidden from their parents. You know, we tried to push a referendum 101 on that, but the time window was so short. So it's important to know that Initiative 2081, it doesn't repeal Senate Bill 5599, not at all. It just kind of puts a stake in the ground saying parents are the primary caregivers for their children, the primary stakeholders in their kids' lives. And what Brian Haywood says is they're hoping that by getting this on the books in Washington state, it will impact positively other legislation down the road.
It's a small pushback against a doctrine that was implemented in Washington law in the 1990s called the mature minor doctrine, mm-hmm. which basically said there's things that kids don't need parents' permission for. And that doctrine was introduced, and then there were a series of bills over the last 15, 20 years that have been introduced based on that doctrine that have I believe, intervened in between parent and child in the relationship. And what I want to begin to do is to push back and make the assertion that there is nobody more loving or more caring or more concerned about the welfare of a child than the parents of that child. Yeah. There's no state employee, no government employee, no school. I don't care how much the teacher is involved in the kids' lives. They don't compare to what a parent does. And the law should reflect that.
So you had stop the hidden gas tax, improve parental rights. Just a few days later, Let's Go Washington turned in initiatives for, I got to say, what is one of my favorite, near and dear to my heart, and that was to restore reasonable police pursuits. In 2021, lawmakers, Democrats in the state, passed a law making it nearly impossible for police to pursue violent criminals. This is something that we pushed back against quite a bit. We held a rally on the steps of the state capitol during the 2023 legislative session. Lawmakers fixed it just a little bit, but certainly not enough. And there have been some really important voices on this issue. You know, when they turned in this initiative in front of Dunlumber and Shoreline, we heard from the owner of Dunlumber, who had a stolen vehicle back in, drive off, and law enforcement couldn't pursue him. We also heard from Amber Goldade, whose 12-year-old daughter was hit and killed by a guy in a stolen landscaping truck who police hadn't been able to pursue previously.
They should just be able to walk down the road and just know that they can make it home safely. But that day, my daughter did not. And this just needs to end.
So the fourth and fifth initiatives to be turned in, both turned in on the same day, on December 21st, they both have to do with taxes. Initiative 2109 would repeal the capital gains tax, which is an illegal income tax. And that's the whole thing for me. Regardless of how you feel about taxing the wealthy, pay their fair share, whatever, it's illegal. This is, in Washington state, you cannot have a graduated income tax. You cannot have an income tax that targets individual groups, etc. And every other state, the IRS, they say, a capital gains tax is a tax on income. But Washington state, and they got the state Supreme Court to agree that it's an excise tax. For their purposes, it's an excise tax. That, to me, the fact that they had to find these legal maneuvers and then find courts that they could get this through, that is reason enough to repeal the dang thing. And then the other anti-tax initiative that was turned in that day was essentially saying no state income tax. They don't want local cities, counties, other jurisdictions to try to impose income taxes and find a way around the state constitution, because we've already seen that happening. You know, Democrats have been putting these little tests in place, testing. Can we get this income tax through, and then can we find a court to agree with us so we can get around the state constitution? Because an income tax for progressives in Washington is the holy grail. And so no state income tax initiative 2111, that is not something that's going to be adopted by the legislature. So that is something that is going to go to voters in November. I am sure of it. And then again, the final initiative that was turned in just today, or is being in the process of being turned in, Initiative 2124, which would allow you to opt out of the state's Long-Term Coverage Act. So when the state came up with this long-term care plan, they thought, you know, not enough Americans, not enough Washingtonians are saving to be able to deal with, you know, long-term care or needs they might have when they're older or when they're sick. And I don't disagree with that sentiment. But this is basically a government-mandated savings account that you have to pay into, and then you might not see any money from. Because as this came into focus, people realized how many issues there were with the long-term care program. You know, some of them have since been fixed. Like if you working Washington State, but you live in Oregon, or you're working Washington State and you live in Idaho, and let's say you need long-term care in Idaho or Oregon, but you paid into this long-term care tax your whole life working in Washington, you weren't going to be able to benefit from it. I mean, that is an obvious glaring issue, and it just shows you how poorly thought out this was. The other thing, if you live in Washington State your whole life, work here your whole life, pay into the long-term care program, walk cares your whole life, and then you decide that you want to retire to Florida, well, you are screwed. You're not ever going to see a dime of that money. And then they gave Washingtonians such a short window to opt out by getting private long-term care insurance that not many could. And so Initiative 2124 would be voting to make it optional. And if Washington voters vote to make it optional, the program will be over. It'll be insolvent because too many Washingtonians would decide they simply do not want it. So those are the six initiatives. It's a huge deal for the legislative session because it's just sort of looming over lawmakers. So they have a choice to make on all of them. They can adopt them. They can ignore them and just let them go to voters and see what happens in November of 2024. They can try to come up with alternative language and then send both of them to voters as sort of a competing ballot initiative. So here's what I think is going to happen with each of them. And you can take this to the bank. Don't take it to the bank. This is just my educated guess. I think if there is one of them that lawmakers would adopt to keep it off the November ballot, for other considerations, it would be reasonable police pursuits. There's been enough heat on the police pursuit issue. The Democrats were willing to reel it back in a little bit last legislative session. So if there were one, because when you think of it this way, you've got Dave Reichert, who's probably going to be in the general election against Bob Ferguson. Dave Reichert, former sheriff, he's running on a law and order platform. People are really unhappy with the state of public safety. And then you've got a public safety bill that if you've got people motivated to vote for that thing, those are probably not the kind of voters who are also going to vote for Bob Ferguson. So maybe just to throw voters a bone, you've got to keep this thing off the same ballot Bob Ferguson and Dave Reichert are going to be on. Maybe that's the one that Democrats just say, you know what, fine, we'll just go back to the way that police pursuits used to be. But in my mind, that's really the only one. That's really the only one that there might be an appetite among the majority party to adopt. As far as the other ones, they're going to ignore no income tax. They're going to ignore parental notification. They're going to ignore repeal the capital gains tax. They're going to ignore the opt-out of state long-term care act, although they might try to fix some issues with that and then send them both through. I could see that happening. And then as far as stop the hidden gas tax, we discussed it on Monday's episode. There are going to be some efforts to fix the problems with the Climate Commitment Act that are sending gas prices so high. And then you'd have two initiatives for voters to choose from, which could serve to confuse them. And maybe Democrats think that's a good thing. But they just want to try to save anything they can of the Climate Commitment Act. So I really think that's how we're going to see this play out. But again, you're going to have millions of dollars spent to try to convince you not to vote for these initiatives in November. So in addition to an already interesting election year, presidential election, gubernatorial election, those are going to be a lot of money, a lot of spending, a lot of ads. You also have these initiatives as well that are going to draw a lot of spending from interest groups, etc. So it makes 2024 all the more interesting. All right, thank you for joining us. And thank you for joining us this week for just a special series of episodes looking ahead to the 2024 legislative session. I hope you have a fantastic new year. I hope you had wonderful holidays. And we'll see you back on the live show on Monday. If you've not signed up to support our show already, remember you can do that for just $5 a month at UndividedPod.com, UndividedPod.com. Today's episode was brought to you by EastsideWeightLossClinic.com. I'm down 37 pounds on the Eastside Weight Loss Clinic program, thanks to Dr. Ryan Coogan and his team. You can do the program virtually from anywhere. There's no prepackaged meals, no counting calories, no strenuous workout routines, no drugs, and no injections. They're just teaching you what to eat in the right portions and how to keep the weight off for life. EastsideWeightLossClinic.com.